Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Lost in the fog of a cosmic storm, floating on whimsical wavelengths is the norm. Dancing through the stars, chasing spectrums of light, riding the waves that are just out of sight.
Welcome back to Whimsical Wavelengths. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Zurich, a volcanologist slash geophysicist. Why the slash? Because I use geophysics to study active volcanoes, or at least I did. Today is all about physics and, well, wavelengths. It's time to probe the myth, the legend, the man. We're talking about Nikola Tesla. Not sure anyone has been on the same wavelength as this man. But before we get into the show, some cleanup. This is also episode 8, 16 weeks of Whimsical Wavelengths. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's also Christmas, or almost. So, from myself, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone. Regardless of what you celebrate, or don't, or whatever, let me give you a Christmas auditory hug. May your days be merry. As Whimsical Wavelengths heads into the new year, I don't know where it'll go yet, but there's more to come. Remember to give the gift of science and repeatable data. In other words, tell those who would enjoy this podcast about it. Oh, I may also have shirts. I mean, I have a shirt. A prototype? I'm not sure I can sell them or not, but I'm playing with new things, so stay tuned. I think next episode I'll come up with some way to give away this shirt. Well, okay, back to the topic. Nikola Tesla. He's been credited with large leaps forward, like alternating current, or AC current, and wireless transmission, including things that are also conspiratorial, or just not feasible, like a death ray and unlimitless free power. Yeah, his legacy is complicated. Well, this is not meant to be a biography. I feel like to do this justice, I really need to give some of the backstory to the man. How can we understand the myths and the conspiracy theories without some background? Let me be clear here. When it comes to the biography information, I'm relying on a variety of sources by biographers and biographies, including the one written by the man himself. There will be several sources listed in the show notes of places to start. So Tesla was born in the Austrian Empire on July 10th, 1856. His father was a priest in the Eastern Orthodox Church. His uncle, on his father's side, was a lecturer at a military academy and wrote textbooks on mathematics. His mother had a talent for making tools, mechanical appliances, and had an exceptional memory. The point is that he had a family who had some skills. They were educated and among the elite. Had the opportunity to study and get educated to being highly intelligent. Okay, yes, it's more complicated than that. And to be honest, I'm not sure how much to read into all of it. Let's just put it this way. Everyone has their biases. And everyone has the events that shape us. Absolutely everyone. There seems to be three themes or events in Nikola Tesla's early life. One being the death of his older brother through a horse accident. Two, his own health problems. And three, his father's pressure to make him follow him into the priesthood. So it is obviously much more complicated than that, with tragedy and other things as well. He definitely, probably like most of us, had baggage. When it comes to the natural world, I think most scientists have had something that grabs their imagination as a kid. Not meant to be a comparison, because that would be just plain silly. But for myself, I started off my own foray into science as a young kid, absolutely fascinated with dinosaurs. I was so enamored with the idea of exploring the past through the fantastic creatures through study. Yeah, my enthusiasm got my mom to take the family to the Royal Tyrrell Museum, located in Drumheller, Alberta, Canada. And I loved it. But I also remember learning an important thing. Because although I really love geology, the idea of getting bones out of the rocks, requiring hours of sitting still with toothbrushes and little picks, I couldn't sit still for longer than 5 minutes. I was a hyperactive, fidgety little kid. Shortly later, I began to turn to something I perceived to be more dynamic. Volcanoes. And I was hooked on a lifelong scientific journey. Going back to Tesla, it seems he became enamored with electricity, an invisible force. The very first electrical-powered lighthouse was built the same year he was born. And Maxwell published his famous equations when he was just 6. It was an emerging technology. The world was changing. Nikola Tesla credits a science teacher for his interest in electricity. It often comes down to that one great teacher. As a teenager and a young adult, Tesla got sick, cholera. He was bedridden for 9 months and near death multiple times. It was a long road to recovery. His father, who wanted him to become a priest, agreed that if he got better, he would find a way to send him to engineering school. Then he fled conscription into the military and wandered around the mountains. This point is a little confusing, but really what it comes down to it is that his life was just not without trials. There was many. And who knows what this really did to his views and outlook. At 19, he did manage to get enrolled in a college. Proved he was very smart. And then lost interest in the coursework and dropped out. Well, regardless of the reasons, the how or the why, it's an important step on his journey. There was lots of other steps along the way, too. And if you're curious, I really suggest diving into the suggested sources in the source notes. Tesla's career finally got started in 1881 when he worked for the Budapest Telephone Exchange, switching to the Continental Edison Company in 1882. Here he got significant exposure to electrical engineering. Before long, he was designing and building improved versions of generating dynamos and motors. Being indispensable to the operations in Europe, he was brought to Edison Machine Works in New York City. That is the very, 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 very abridged version of events. I've skipped over so much, but I think I've got the most important parts. Two additional details. By Nikola Tesla's own account, he was extremely talented at visualizing complex machines and math in his head. He could work out theoretical designs in his mind and then directly translate them into prototypes. How Mr. Tesla describes this ability and how he honed it to me sounds a bit paranormal, if you will. Secondly, he seemed to have an abnormal relationship with work. It's almost all he did from sunup to sundown, day in to day out. Work was his life. He didn't have any documented romantic relationships or the like. Okay, so he was highly intelligent and, strange. Often misunderstood and mysterious to outsiders. Carried some kind of baggage from his upbringing, trying to live in the shadow of his older brother who died young. Vying for his father's approval, the church, and I don't know, I feel like there's something else I just can't put my finger on. Or many things, for that matter. I'm not a psychologist. All in all, it's clear to see he's an easy target for mythological ideas to be built around something. Something bigger than the man himself. I also feel it is really important to reiterate at this point that every human is flawed. Okay, how about his accomplishments that changed the world? Nikola Tesla is definitely a clear example that one person can really change the world. Let's start with AC or alternating current and the induction motor. Before we move forward, I think it's really important that we define what electrical current is. And we're talking about alternating current here, and we've also been talking, and we'll talk a bit more about direct current. Electrical current is the flow of charged particles, like electrons, moving through a conductor, or like a wire, or space. Its units, in SI, which stands for the International System of Units, much like meters, we call an ampere, or amp, just for short, with the symbol of A, which is equivalent to charge per second, and that charge is called, as a unit, is called a coulomb. I know, a little too far in depth for this discussion, but I think it's really important that we talk about electrical current and give a proper definition. The first electric lights and infrastructure used direct current, like from your typical battery. Over short distances, battery or direct current, it works great. Think of handheld toys. It's the main reason they run on batteries. The power is very close to the source or to where the work is done. Direct current, yeah, it has definitely some significant problems. When the work, or in this example, back in Tesla's days, the lights are far away from the source or generating station. You see, electrical lines lose energy through heating. Its formula is power loss is equal to resistance of the line multiplied by the current squared. What makes AC power superior is the ability to use transformers to increase the voltage and decrease the current. And then, at the source, using another transformer, return the voltage and current levels back to what they were. Decreasing the current by a factor of 5 reduces the power loss by a factor of 25. I went and attempted to pull basic specifications for the transformers just outside our windows and, it proved to be more trouble than I was expecting to get confirmation of the values. And I guess it doesn't really matter, although I would like to know. Listeners, feel free to correct me on this, and it might depend what country you're in. Or maybe even which city, I have no idea. It seems that the small transformers on the street take power lines running around 13,000 volts, or maybe it was 7,500 volts. Like I said, country and location dependent. This one transformer that directs power into a handful of homes, we're talking reducing it by a factor of 50. For long distances, the large transmission lines have voltages in the hundreds of thousands of volts. Yeah. The longest transmission line in the world is in Brazil, at a whopping 2,543 kilometers. That's a long, long way, especially in comparison to what DC power lines were able to achieve back in the early part of Tesla's career, which would be just a handful of kilometers. Yeah, this very long transmission line in Brazil typically runs with voltages of 800,000 volts. Oh. Do you know what a light bulb's favorite kind of news is? Yeah, you guessed it. It's current events. What really pushed AC power forward into the mainstream was Tesla's invention of an induction motor. What is it? Well, an induction motor uses alternating current to produce mechanical power. This type of motor is widely used in various applications and appliances and industrial machines due to its simplicity, durability, and efficiency. The point is, Tesla moved us forward and changed the world. Who knows how long it would have taken without him? A couple of years? Although scientific achievement was moving fast, like Galileo Ferris, an Italian professor who also invented the AC induction motor and did a lot of work to show that alternating current systems would be superior, he did all of this at approximately the same time as Nikola Tesla, completely independently. The difference was that Tesla patented his device and was in the right place to implement it. I have no doubt we would have switched to alternating current without Tesla, but it definitely would have taken longer. The science and the data were being collected and done. In fact, Tesla was at the forefront on several different avenues of science and engineering, like X-rays, radio, wireless communications. and he wasn't the only one working on these things. I have no doubt these inventions would have been achieved without his input, but the breadth of what he accomplished is something to behold, and frankly, hard to imagine. In all of these spheres of electromagnetism and engineering, he was pushing boundaries. Looking specifically at X-rays, he began to investigate different phenomena, trying to understand what was emerging as a separate form of radiation. His lab did produce some of the first X-ray images. He definitely helped move the emerging technology forward. However, most of his results were lost in a fire. So it isn't completely clear what he had or hadn't done. By the way, why do doctors avoid lying to X-ray technicians? Well, silly, it's because they can see right through you. When it came to the radio wireless communication, Tesla is there in all of it. It started with his obsession with wireless transmission of power. We'll cover this in part two in more detail. On the wireless signal side, there is the Tesla coil, oscillators, and frequency generators, prototypes of remote control systems. His patents were the building blocks of radio communication. As I said previously, he wasn't creating these in a vacuum. Others were working on these topics as well, making quick progress, but Tesla had a way of bringing them into the possible and putting it in our hands in a much more tangible way. And he was one man doing all of these things basically at the same time, instead of a whole bunch of individuals working on things independently. And I think that's what really builds the myth around Nikola Tesla. So before trying to wrap up and leaving you all to drink your hot chocolate on a cold winter's day, or if you're in the south, maybe a mojito, I have no idea what the actual traditional drink would be in Australia, given how warm it is there. I think I'm going to attempt to explain what a Tesla coil is and how it all works. Many people may be able to bring an image to their mind of what one looks like, but do you know what it really is? In fact, you can see a short reel or video of me demonstrating one of these on social media feeds and in the show notes. The average interaction with a Tesla coil for most of us is part of a science demonstration. It usually looks like a tower-like contraption, or a needle in the case of my example, or more classically with a donut-looking top called a torus. The memorable part of the demonstration is the artificial lightning it creates. It starts with the same premise of an AC transformer, used to step up the voltage, allowing efficient moving of alternating current power to our homes. A transformer consists of two circuits. The primary circuit is where the current is input through a coil which creates a magnetic field. An important physical feature of the universe is that any varying electrical field, so that's an electrical field or moving of charges that change with time as it moves back and forth, will create a varying magnetic field. And a varying magnetic field, to take a bar magnet for instance and move it around, will cause an electrical field in nearby conductors. It is this property that is used to explore for minerals in my own field deep within the earth or detect natural processes. In fact, let's define a couple more terms before continuing with the explanation. Potential difference is the difference in the amount of energy in charge between two points in a circuit, measured in volts. In a Tesla coil, the secondary current has a coil with significantly more turns than the primary. This causes a significant increase to the voltage in the secondary current. To tune the two circuits so the power or voltage between the two reach a resonance. Resonance is like, you can think of it as like you're pushing somebody on the swing. You have to push them at the perfect time to get them to go the maximum possible height. And that is essentially exactly what we're talking about here. As it pushes the secondary current to very high voltages. But to do this requires a way to get the current in the primary circuit to have a proper pulse. And that requires a capacitor and a spark gap. So let's start with the spark gap. A circuit is complete when a circular path of that electricity can flow. A spark gap represents a small break in that circuit. The circuit is only complete when the electrons can travel from one side of the gap to the other. Or in other words, the potential difference across the gap must be high enough for electrical discharge across it. To rephrase, to jump across the spark gap requires a threshold voltage, which mostly depends on the gap distance. The next portion is a capacitor. A capacitor stores electrical energy by accumulating electric charges on two closely spaced surfaces that are insulated from each other. By being insulated, it preserves the potential difference or voltage between the plates for later use. So the capacitor stores up charge, helping the circuit to eventually reach that threshold for an electrical discharge across the gap. So, what happens in the circuit? Well, the capacitor stores up energy until there's enough potential difference. The electrons discharge across the gap, draining the capacitor that allows the current to flow in the circuit. And then it repeats. With the AC power source, the spark gap, and the capacitor, it creates a resonance with the secondary current. And this pushes the voltage in that secondary current extremely high. Again, it's at still a low, relatively, current. But the voltage is extremely high. The high voltage causes the air at the top of the tower to ionize, creating artificial lightning. Today, Tesla coils generally fall into the entertainment use case. Or, in other words, electrical demonstrations. In industry, they're used for arc welders and ignition and vacuum leak detection. For the sake of time, I won't get into the details. I kind of want to, but at the same time, even I find them slightly boring. But still cool? Who knows? If I get a bunch of emails saying, go into more details, then maybe I'll just have to add an addendum to this. Just before I wrap up for the holiday break, which isn't really a break for me, because there still will be a Whimsical Wavelengths in 2 weeks' time, I'm just going to touch on wireless power transmission, and a note of caution for any would-be enthusiasts. Tesla coils are not exactly safe. Yeah, the frequency of the current puts the system in the radio frequency band. And high voltage radio frequency emissions can cause skin burns, nerve damage, and cardiac issues. In other words, electricity can kill. Duh. This should not be a surprise. There is some nuance here because of the frequencies involved, however. At high frequencies, it may not cause you to feel a shock, as our nervous systems are not sensitive to higher frequencies. Unlike the power from our home or DC sources, which definitely shock you, I've been shocked quite a few times from basically household sources. It might explain a few things. But that doesn't mean it cannot damage. Radio frequency or RF burns due to the power or energy traveling through the skin and flesh occur. And you'll hear perhaps some talk about the skin depth of RF energy on the human body. And to just be blunt, it is sufficient to do real damage. What is skin depth? Well, skin depth is the penetration, how much something penetrates, or in this case, energy, into whatever we're talking about. In this case, we're talking about the human body. And it depends on the frequency and the resistance of the material. As they say, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Also, never trust electricians. Why? Because they have shocking personalities. Yeah, okay, terrible joke. Lastly, wireless power transmission. Going back to a previous phrase earlier in the show, a varying magnetic field will cause an electrical field in conductors. This can be seen in my demonstration of the Tesla coil and a small LED light. In this example, the technique is not feasible because the energy in the electromagnetic wave from the Tesla coil is in the radio frequency, and it just spreads out too much to be useful. Instead, it needs to be concentrated and directed. And companies are playing with this game right now, being able to direct and concentrate this using infrared and microwave wavelengths. So it is definitely possible. Just into the new year, we're going to be doing part two. We talk about Nikola Tesla and how other people have seen him. The mythology, if you will, surrounding the man. and the conspiracy theories that have floated around him ever since his death. It should be interesting, especially now that we've gone through some of like who he was and some of the accomplishments. Not all, definitely not all. He was truly remarkable, how he was able to push in so many different ways. Also, a heartfelt Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and anything else that you celebrate. As we come into the new year, I'm going to be getting new guests. It's going to be amazing. And as I said at the beginning, I will have a shirt to give away. That's right, you can wear a Whimsical Wavelengths t-shirt. It won't have the whimsical cover art that you've seen thus far. It'll be something much grander, much more awesome. Yeah, awesome sauce. And just to close this out, you know the drill. If you've liked it, give it a rating. Tell a friend. Make sure you subscribe. If you really, really, really liked it and you have the ability to support this podcast, you can sign up via my Patreon account and join a Discord server for all those Patreons to ask me more questions, make suggestions, and build a community across from this podcast.
In a world so chaotic, so misbehaved, echoes of melodies remind us it's always colors weave stories painting the sky, swaying to rhythms as the galaxies fly by. Oh,